It's now becoming quite clear that the FBI, under James Comey, conspired to sabotage General Flynn, a patriot with 30 years of military service. Think about that. A United States intelligence service took it upon themselves to set up this man and lied to him to do it. What does that mean for the future if those responsible are not held accountable? Whether you are a Democrat or a Republican, this should be a major concern. The hierarchy of the FBI stepped in before the Trump administration could set up safeguards against such a thing and went after General Flynn. He agreed to meet with them and was told that he would not need a lawyer. That was a lie. The whole purpose of the meeting was to bring the general up on charges of lying to the FBI, although FBI agents said they did not believe he was lying to them. Then the Comey crowd threatened to go after the general's son unless he resigned. He lost his home and his savings from 30 years of military service. The truth is that it's just now coming out that General Flynn will soon be vindicated. When that happens, the president is clearly within his rights to pardon the general and should do it quickly. Have we become so decadent that justice no longer matters? That political power justifies whatever has to be done to attain it? If a Democrat is elected president, are conservatives and Republicans to launch endless investigations of that president and tie the country up for their entire term? That's what Democrats did with the aid of their media flunkies. They did that to the Trump presidency. Democrats, count on Republicans not to play as dirty as they do. And so far, Republicans have shown that to be true. And that does not bode well for our country. My commentary in a moment, but first, Joe Biden has been accused of sexual assault by a woman who worked in his congressional office. And the same liberal Democrats who murderously attacked Judge Kavanaugh over such an accusation are refusing to hold Biden to the same standard. In the Kavanaugh case, the accuser did not know when it had happened, where it happened, how she got there, how she got home, only that she was drinking and was underage. She couldn't say who else was at the party. And yet, Democrats went on record that all women who come forward must be believed. Biden's accuser states when it happened, where it happened, how it happened. She has others who back up her claim. Yet, this woman is being scorned by Democrats desperate to get Biden elected president in November. None of the same Democrats who said all women must be believed in the Kavanaugh case have been willing to extend that courtesy to Biden's accuser. It's time to call out the Democrats who accuse others of doing exactly what they themselves are doing and to demand that they stop their dishonest hypocrisy. The same rules must apply to everyone, not just Republicans. As for Biden, he can't figure out what to say, and so he says nothing. His campaign speaks. While others are allowed to plead his innocence, Biden remains silent. There are other women who've also made accusations against Joe Biden. Are they all to be shunted aside, none to be believed? Are all women to be believed or not? Democrats tried to destroy Judge Kavanaugh and his family by staking out their claim that all women must be believed. Now, when it comes to a man in their own party, they seek to run from that previous claim and hope the subject goes away. That is as likely to happen as the Pope telling dirty jokes from the Vatican window. There is no question that the coronavirus is real and deadly. But the real question is where did it come from and how do we deal with it without the loss of more lives and destruction of our economy? In my commentary this week, I credit Sarah Newey and Anne Goland of Telegraph.co, New York Post, Washington Post, and TheHill.com for their research. What do we really know about the coronavirus? Let's start with what the virus is, how it started, and how big it could get. The new coronavirus, or COVID-19, has spread to nearly every country in the world since it first emerged from Wuhan, China, at the beginning of this year. Very troubling is the fact that under the Barack Hussein Obama administration, some $3.7 million was given to that Wuhan lab for experiments with bats. The Trump administration also gave $700,000 to them for that research. Why is American taxpayer money being given to China for any reason? We have scientists here in America who could conduct such tests if necessary. Simply put, China cannot be trusted. The COVID-19 pandemic is not the first one to be loosed on the world from China. Coronaviruses are a family of viruses that cause disease in animals, and seven, including this new virus, have made the jump to humans. But most just cause cold-like symptoms. COVID-19 is closely related to severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, which swept around the world in 2002 and 2003. That virus infected around 8,000 people and killed about 800, but it soon ran itself out. Largely because most of those infected were seriously ill, so it was easier to control. Another coronavirus is Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, cases of which have been occurring sporadically since it first emerged in 2012. There have been around 2,500 cases and nearly 900 deaths associated with it. COVID-19 is different from these two other coronaviruses in that the spectrum of disease is broad, with around 80% of cases leading to a mild infection. There may be many people carrying the disease and not displaying any symptoms, making it even harder to control. So far, less than 20% of the COVID-19 cases have been classed as severe, and the current death rate varies between 0.7% and 3.4%, depending upon your location, and, crucially, access to good health care. Scientists in China believe that COVID-19 mutated into two strains, one more aggressive than the other, which is making the development of a vaccine even more complicated. The jury is still out on the source of this coronavirus. At first, it was believed that it came from a wet market in Wuhan, China, which sells both dead and live animals, including fish and birds. Such markets pose a heightened risk of viruses jumping from animals to humans because hygiene standards are difficult to maintain as live animals are being kept and butchered on site. Typically, they're also densely packed, allowing disease to spread from species to species. The animal source of COVID-19 has not yet been identified, but the original host is thought to be bats. Bats are not sold at the Wuhan wet market, but they may have infected live chickens or other animals that are sold there. COVID-19 has already taken hold in Europe, the United States, and Southeast Asia, and it's beginning to wreak havoc in Africa and South America. The World Health Organization is particularly concerned at the ability of the poorest countries in the world to control this pandemic. Initial symptoms include fever, dry cough, tiredness, and a general feeling of being unwell. Other symptoms can include the loss of taste and smell and stomach problems. So far, there is no specific treatment, although doctors are trialing existing drugs for virus, such as Ebola, malaria, and HIV. Early reports do seem promising, but until full clinical trials have been concluded, doctors cannot be certain that these drugs will be effective. Work to develop a vaccine is accelerating, but it's unlikely to be available until late this year or early next year. Nobody knows for sure. Like cold and flu bugs, COVID-19 is spread via droplets when a person coughs or sneezes. The droplets land on surfaces and are picked up on the hands of others and spread further. People catch the virus when they touch their infected hands to their mouth, nose, or eyes. It follows that the single most important thing you can do to protect yourself is keep your hands clean by washing them frequently with soap and water and/or with hand sanitizing gel. There is some debate about whether the disease is airborne, but there is no conclusive evidence for it yet. But that could change. Airborne viruses linger for a longer period of time than those spread by droplets and can also be spread in air conditioning and ventilation systems. The current advice is that the disease can only be spread between close contacts. That's defined as spending more than 15 minutes within 6 feet of an infected person. There's also a theory that the virus somehow escaped from a laboratory in Wuhan, China, either by accident or by design. We don't yet know, but its genetic code has been linked to bats. The number of diseases crossing from animals to humans is growing, and teams of virus hunters are trying to track them down. According to current data, more than 80% of the cases are mild. In roughly 14% of cases, the virus causes severe disease, including pneumonia and shortness of breath. In less than 5% of patients, it is critical, leading to respiratory failure, septic shock, and multiple organ failure. According to the WHO, the death rate in Wuhan was 2 to 4%, whereas in the rest of China, it was around 0.7%. But the death rate around the world varies greatly, and there are multiple reasons. Experts believe it could have to do with the way deaths are counted, the age of the people infected, and the state of the health service in each country. Now, I also researched how this coronavirus compares to past respiratory epidemics. The 1918 Spanish influenza, or H1N1 virus, remains the most devastating flu pandemic in modern history. That disease swept around the globe and is estimated to have caused between 50 and 100 million deaths. Remember, the world's population was much smaller then. A cousin of that same virus was also behind the 2009 swine flu outbreak, thought to have killed as many as 575,400 people. Other major influenza outbreaks include Asian flu in 1957, which led to roughly 2 million deaths, and Hong Kong flu, which killed 1 million people 11 years later in 1968. A major difference with COVID-19 is the panic that's being spread by the liberal media and a desperate Democrat Party who sees the pandemic as a way to destroy all economic gains made by the Trump administration and defeat him in the November election. In a bid to make political hay out of the coronavirus pandemic, congressional Democrats led by Nancy Pelosi want to create a 9/11-style commission to investigate the federal government's response to this virus. After all, they tried and failed to drive President Trump from office with bogus claims about Russia and then Ukraine. Both times, they conducted their own narrative by turning assertions into facts and should not be trusted with a third chance. Yet, it is beyond dispute that America was not ready for this or any other pandemic. We were caught flat-footed, with neither Washington nor the most populous states having sufficient plans, people, and equipment to combat this invisible enemy. Already the impact of the virus recalls other great shocks to our nation, from the JFK assassination to the financial crash of 2008. Along with 9/11, each was followed by extensive examinations of what went wrong and how a repeat could be prevented. A prime requirement of such probes is that they be viewed as impartial. But equally important is the timing. And now is not the time to play the blame game, especially one loaded with partisan agendas. The war against COVID-19 is far from over. The body count continues to rise. Millions of Americans have lost their jobs. Federal guidelines remain in place. And nearly all states continue to impose harsh restrictions on commerce and social interactions. Thus, a finger-pointing exercise only hardens our political polarization. Most importantly, it saps attention and energy from this all-hands-on-deck emergency America still faces. New York's public transportation system continues to operate as the governor and Mayor de Blasio disagree on basic questions. The MTA in New York reports that more than 50 bus and subway workers in New York have died from the coronavirus, and more than 5,000 are under quarantine. Those numbers show that the system is a petri dish that may be doing more than anything else to spread the virus. Riders and workers get infected on the subway and take it to their homes. Obviously, the system serves a vital need, but the casualty numbers alone are horrific and show it's also working against the primary objective of stopping the spread. Finding a middle ground would require New York's governor and New York City mayor to talk at length and agree on something. That apparently is the one thing they cannot do, even during a pandemic. You don't ever want a crisis to go to waste. It's an opportunity to do things that you would otherwise avoid. So said former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who was Barack Hussein Obama's chief of staff and an astute practitioner of smash-mouth politics. It's hard to imagine human beings that are so devoid of conscience and morality that they would seize upon a deadly pandemic for political gain. But it is unfurling as I speak. It's worth remembering this as Democrats and their media puppy dogs do everything they can to hype the dangers of the Wuhan coronavirus. Not that this is not a serious virus. It is. People are contracting it and dying all over the world. And it has cratered the U.S. economy. But while most Americans are focused on finding a vaccine against COVID-19, the Democrat Party is torn between wishing for that vaccine and extending the misery of the American people as long as possible in order to destroy the Trump economy and put a doddering old man into the White House to replace Trump. They know that Joe Biden is feeble-minded already, and that it's improbable that he could serve 4 years in the Oval Office. But they had nothing better to offer, and they're willing to risk it all to gain back political power. But as bad as this COVID-19 virus is, there are three items you won't hear much about from the Democrats or the liberal media. First, only a handful of children in China have contracted this virus. Their factories are reopening and makeshift hospitals are being closed in Wuhan, where the virus was centered, and in South Korea. The epidemic appears to be leveling off there amid mass testing, with the fatality rate for deaths from the virus infections less than 1%. The Wuhan virus, redubbed COVID-19 by the WHO to be more politically correct, was first identified in December 2019. The communist government of China covered it up at first. They quarantined the city and then confined 60 million people before the virus began to level off in March. Now, communist China, the Democrat leadership, and their media allies are accusing anyone who uses the term Wuhan virus or Chinese virus as xenophobia. The Chinese Communist Party tried to spread a lie that the virus was brought over to China by U.S. military personnel. That's reminiscent of when the Soviet Union spread the rumor that the CIA had created the AIDS virus. Given the acquiescence of previous U.S. presidents, China was taken aback when President Trump called their hand. The rumor went away as quickly as it had begun. The Wuhan label has been around since the story broke, as documented by the Media Research Center, which compiled a montage of dozens of Democrats and so-called journalists using that very phrase. Joe Biden accused President Trump and anyone else who called it the Wuhan virus or Chinese virus as xenophobic. Pretty soon, old Joe will be accusing people of being anti-ornithology for using the term bird flu. The first case of the Wuhan coronavirus in the United States was reported on January 21, and the Trump administration issued a mandatory 14-day quarantine for anyone coming into our country from China's Hubei province. On January 31, the Trump administration announced even tighter travel restrictions. That very same day, Joe Biden told a crowd in Iowa this: "This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysteria and xenophobia and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science." No one in the liberal press corps seemed curious as to how letting in fewer infected people would worsen an epidemic. As late as January 31, Joe Biden was against banning travel from China in the wake of the Chinese coronavirus. Conversely, in their February 4th letter to the HHS Secretary Alex Azar, Representatives Nita Lowey, New York Democrat, and Rose DeLauro, the Connecticut Democrat, praised the Trump administration for declaring a public health emergency, and they requested more money for several activities, including mandatory quarantine of travelers and enhanced screening at ports of entry. Are Democrat leaders calling those Democrats xenophobes? Meanwhile, Representative Elliot Engel of New York called travel bans imposed by the United States and other countries racist and discriminatory. No matter what Trump does, he will be accused of 1, acting recklessly, 2, reacting too slowly, 3, of being racist, 4, ignoring medical advice, and 5, threatening the health crisis as a partisan issue. The left has 2 good reasons to gin up this hysteria. They think they have finally found a silver bullet to take down Donald Trump, and they see it as an opportunity to create permanent government expansion through emergency legislation. The same folks who concocted the 2,000-page Obamacare legislation behind closed doors will slip Democratic Socialist wish list items into any emergency legislation. They loaded up the first round of stimulus relief with Pelosi's special interest pork, and at present, Pelosi and Democrats are trying to get raises for themselves tucked into the next stimulus bill. While millions of Americans are out of work, these politicians continue to get paid from tax dollars, and they want yet another raise. One of Pelosi's wish list items is mandatory paid leave. Now, that might sound good in an emergency, but that could become a permanent dictate to businesses with 15 or more employees. Pro-business groups have opposed that for years as a job-killing measure. For Democrats, it's crisis meet opportunity. Any delay in ramming through this legislation will afford Democrats a chance to do what they do best, accuse opponents of lacking compassion and racism, always racism. The Washington Post ran a five-column photo and feature article about First Lady Melania Trump addressing the National PTA Legislative Conference about online bullying. The snarky headline in the Post was, "Be best not to mention it." The writer complained that Ms. Trump had discussed her topic without referencing the coronavirus. The runover headline was, "First Lady's talking points don't include COVID-19. She was addressing online bullying, and the coronavirus had no place in that subject. There were many other topics she did not reference. Nothing about North Korea, not a word about blue skies versus clouds, or the number of cases of diarrhea in the Bronx." Could you imagine the Post giving Michelle Obama the same treatment? If Ms. Trump had said anything about the virus, they would have seized on it and ripped her up one side and down the other. It's all part of the Democrats mining this pandemic for political gold, which may well turn out to be fool's gold before it's all over. As Democrats try to blame Trump for the coronavirus, we are left to wonder who is responsible for it in some 184 other countries. If it's not Trump's doing in those countries, who gets the blame? When that question is asked, Democrats dummy up. I thank you for listening today. We've heard a lot about this coronavirus, and it is an awful thing. But it's been hyped beyond belief and for political purposes. We'll come out of this. We always do. But this country is going to be on its knees financially for a long time. Our children and grandchildren are going to pay for this. I thank you again for listening today, and I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time and same station.